thanks everyone for coming out. I think the best talks always start with an apology. My apology is, raise your hands if you've seen Jeff Wah's talk in this room. None. Raise your hands if you've seen Stormy Peter's talk this morning. Raise your hands if you liked Stormy Peter's slides. Yeah, so I'm going to have bullet points. But I swear, I really, really want to work on that. So maybe next year, I'll have better slides. But bear with me for now. I'm going to talk about NetConf. NetConf is a network interface configuration system. It's a modular design, extensible on the file system. It's policy-driven. It's a daemon. I want it to be suitable for servers, desktops, and laptops alike. It's written with the Debian minimal base system in mind. Now, I'm going to return to the Debian point soon. If you are not a Debian user, then you don't have to be afraid that you're in the wrong room at all. It is currently prototyped in Python. No tomatoes flying yet. That's good, that's good. Well, essentially, I do want to port it to C or C++, but I think Python is a very, very good language for rapid application prototyping. So that's what I chose. The homepage, you can you should theoretically see. Well, type it into Google. You'll find NetConf. So I'm going to talk about my motivation, my visions and goals, and desired functionality. I'll give you a brief introduction into the design of NetConf, into the implementation status, and then we'll have some time for discussion. That brings me to the point of questions. If you have a question, conceptual, it's probably easiest if you just put your hand up so we answer it straight away so that none of you is left out in the rain. Which it is currently. No, it's partly sunny in Melbourne, as we just saw. So I can clear things up before there are any misunderstandings. Now, many of you may have heard the name NetConf before. I was rather surprised when I looked for network configuration systems that the name wasn't taken, really. But then when I looked a little closer, it was taken. So we have RFC 4741, which is a protocol to save, store, and delete configuration profiles on network devices. We also have an annual LSA conference for the NetDev people, which is called NetConf. And there are very many internal and proprietary tools by the name of NetConf. For instance, the owner of netconf.org was telling me about his network configuration organization tool. That's why he has the domain. And he's not willing to bestow the .org domain to a nonprofit, which this is. So I don't see much of a conflict. I don't insist on the name. Maybe some of you have better suggestions. Maybe I'll change it, maybe not. This is just to kind of like preemptively take away all these questions from people about why I chose that name. So without further ado, here's my motivation. I think as a Debian user, I love it dearly, but IFUpDown is aging. It requires hooks for pretty much anything that is modern nowadays. It's very stateful and can therefore diverge from the status quo. I'm sure you know what I mean, the like if up and then it fails, and then you do if up again and says, no, I've already configured the interface. No, you haven't. Well, yes, I have. No, it's stateful, and it's not the status quo anymore. It's not really extensible, except with hackish hooks, such as you can see with WPA supplicant and Debian. Now, I actually like the integration of WPA supplicant. I'm not trying to slag these people behind that, but it's still not two-way. If WPA supplicant fails, IFUpDown is not necessarily going to find out. It has a single interface concept, no dependencies. So this is my main motivation. Then I looked around a little bit, and I saw that other distributions have similar approaches. Now, some of them are better, some of them are worse, but in the end, pretty much everyone agreed with me that network configuration as done by distros by default nowadays is not up to speed. There is Network Manager, which is an acceptable GUI, but it is a very top-down GUI-centric design. There is Network Manager, the daemon. It can run by itself, but if you look at the code, it'll be pretty obvious that it actually needs a GUI. You can't really configure it without the GUI. Now that in itself is a slight problem if I, as I said earlier, have the Debian minimal base system in mind. I'm not going to get the X server in there. Doubtful. The backends of Network Manager are slightly limited. There's only room for one static IP address. I think they actually fixed that recently. There are hard-coded policies. You know, if the cable is disconnected, then disable. If the cable is connected, then disable the wireless. And it's not really easy to integrate bonding, bridging, and all these other funky things into Network Manager. OpenVPN and VPNCs are integrated, and there is plugin support, but nobody could actually tell me whether it's possible to write these plugins as a normal mortal. But given that the GUI is pretty cool, I actually want to make it interface with NetConf. So those of you who are using Network Manager on their laptops to configure wireless networks painlessly will be able to continue to do so in the future. Here's my vision, my goals, and what I want to make NetConf do. I want it to be bottom-up, and I'm putting this as the first point here because I want to stress what it means. Bottom-up for me as a Debian user is you start with the simple, tiny things, and you make them work right, and then you put them together. And that, to many of you, may sound like the Unix philosophy. So that's pretty much what I'm trying to do. Like, keep it simple, keep it down to the point, keep it modular. It's a daemon, as I've mentioned before, and it's event-based, and it takes these events and it basically routes them to interface handlers. This routing, these routing decisions, are entirely outsourced to a policy which is defined in a file in etc. I'm trying to make it as stateless as possible. Now, that doesn't always work. D8 client may be running, and that's a state in and of itself that it's running. So I can't make it entirely stateless, but I'm working hard on that. Especially, I want to make it such that it doesn't get in the way of the administrator. The administrator should be able to make changes to the system with NetConf running in the background, and NetConf not then reverting those changes. So this is what I call the Debian way. It's sort of like etc. on Debian. You are guaranteed that your modifications to files in etc. are preserved. The actual manipulation doesn't happen from inside the daemon, but the daemon calls shell scripts. Now, I'm going to talk about these later as well. So let me just glance over it here and go directly to the NetConf goals. What I want is an extensible modular design, and I want it to be a cross-distro target. And this is why all of you non-Debian people are actually in the right room. I am a Debian person. I'm doing this for my Debian system, but I would really like to have other people provide influence because I've recently looked at, for instance, the Gentoo network configuration management system, and I was like, hey, they actually do some stuff a lot better than we do. So maybe I can profit from that. You know, Fedora is not going to be any different, and so on and so forth. I'd like non-root users to be able to bring up interfaces if the policy allows that. I would like to integrate some standard tools into NetConf in a non-hackish way. ResolveConf, firewalling, link status and environment detection. I would actually like to take some of these hackish, really ugly solutions that exist on my system. I'm sure your solutions aren't hackish and ugly. I want to make them obsolete. I also want to make sure that there is no magic involved. It should all be pretty straightforward. It should be pretty much the Debian way. Now, I don't actually mean to say Debian as often as I do in this presentation. I hope you'll bear with me. I want to make network configuration fun again. Yeah, well. So there's a roadmap available on in the Git repository. I have some selected items here. The roadmap for 1.0 is basically to replace Debian IFUpDown. But the way that I'm doing it involves a lot of plugins. So everything that is Debian specific is implemented in a plugin. The actual core of the daemon is Debian agnostic, and therefore I hope that other distro solutions can be easily integrated. So these are some things here. In addition to what IFUpDown can do already, I want to have that policy layer so that I can authenticate non-root users, and I can basically give the administrator control over any decisions. And I also want to directly listen to the netlink layer and react appropriately, so no more IFPlugD that needs to be running if you just want to plug in the cable and get an DHCP address. Now, netlink means the driver has to work. And this, for me, means I'm actually making a conscious decision with NetConf design. If the driver is broken, I won't support it. I think that's the only way forward. So link detection, for instance, happens exclusively via the netlink socket. There are no IOCTL calls to the network interface driver in NetConf. I realize this may impact a little bit the usability of NetConf at first, but I hope that it actually causes people to file bugs against these broken drivers, and eventually that these broken drivers then get fixed, specifically this one. Taking the link down on any network interface should really enter power save mode. Is Keith Packard here? I have to change my slides because I actually mentioned him by name. And I said I'd only do that if he showed up. Oh well. So, there you go. I want to make this cross-distro consider joining. Don't worry, this is not going to be a Debian-specific talk. I love these conferences, especially being a Debian developer. We live in our sort of own universe. We don't really look outside. You know, like Debian is a community. It's pretty self-sufficient. So when I started NetConf, everybody was like, yeah, cool idea, and no, I don't know anything except Network Manager that does this. So then I take off in Switzerland, I fly to Bangkok, I go to an internet cafe, and I'm really jet-lagged, and somebody says, like, hey, have you seen Open Solaris? It's trying to do exactly what you're doing. And I'm like, this is going to be an interesting conference. This is going to be an interesting talk. So I spend some time reading what they are trying to do with Network Automagic, and I've actually come to the conclusion that, yes, they are trying to do something similar, but they are not having the same goals as NetConf. They are actually targeting laptops and only laptops. They are doing very much on the entire Open Solaris kernel-dependent front, so NetConf will be Open Solaris. It might be difficult to port. I haven't actually investigated that. It has the CDDL license, which Debian people aren't exactly sure whether it should be free or not. It has that choice of venue problem. If you want to sue us, you have to fly to San Francisco first. It has the word magic in its name. But it may very well serve as a source of inspiration, and I'm looking forward to reach out to the developers and possibly collaborate with them. So what's the design like? What are we looking at? This is the main loop of NetConf. There is a long design document available. I urge everyone interested in reading it. It helps me every single time when I return to NetConf, reading it again to understand what I'm doing. But basically, what the main loop is nothing else than a select loop, a loop that blocks on select. And it blocks, it passes to select a list of what I call file descriptor read reactors, FDR reactors. As soon as a select returns, that means that at least one of those file descriptors has data waiting on it. And then I take... Yeah, well, okay, so this is actually a function, right? It is a class instance, and it has this call method, but it's actually a function pointer. So I basically pass control to this FDR reactor with the function read, pass it the file descriptor, and a pointer to the core of the entire thing so that it can do callbacks and register other reactors and so on and so forth via these functions. So this is very simple stuff. If you know Python, if you know any programming language, all of this is a map, a dictionary, a whatever you want to call it. A hash, I think it's the Perl term. So starting from this loop, which uses blocking select, the reason why I'm doing this is because I actually made NetConf threadless. Initially, I didn't. Initially, I had no idea about multi-threaded programming and about polling and what that means and so on and so forth. And then I got educated by some co-developers, and they told me that my batteries are going to die if I ever run NetConf that polls every 5 seconds or every 0.1 seconds, as I believe it was. So I made it threadless. This means that it is actually a little more complex in the code than I would like it to be, because the interface handlers or reactors need to be cooperative. Kind of feels like we're back down in the 80s somewhere, you know, cooperative multitasking is just happening. But I guess I'm getting some explicit benefit out of it. It actually makes debugging easier because all this threat magic has been removed. So what I'm expecting from reactors, the ones that handle these events, is to finish promptly, consume the data from the file descriptor so that select doesn't return again in the next loop, fork for all long-running processes, and if it's actually a long-running process itself that requires hooks to be run, for instance, then they should be split up, and every now and then control should be returned to the main loop. Now, this actually sounds as complicated as it is, but I'm trying hard, and I think I've succeeded already, in abstracting this into a fairly easy and usable class design So if I say class design, that kind of means that I'm looking at C++ later, although C can actually be used for this. So this is the big picture. Here's my core, and I have a couple of lists there. FD reactors, timed callbacks so that I can time out hooks, for instance, signal handlers so that I can react appropriately to signals. And then up there, you can see the control socket, CTL sock, which is just one of the default reactors that are registered. The control socket is where all these tools like IF down and IF up and the user with the shell script can hook in and give commands to the daemon. Now, the control socket is registered, and then at one point in time, an event may happen that is delegated to this reactor, and the reactor gets called, and it in turn then delegates to an interface policy, or the interface policy. The interface policy goes to etc netconf policy, the file, and figures out that for ETH0, what we actually want to be doing is DHCP. So then I spawn a DHCP handler, and I store it together with ETH0, and then I delegate to the DHCP handler, which actually starts the DH client, then registers another reactor that will then handle DH client events with the core. And this handler, or this reactor, which takes care of the DH client events, invokes a so-called manipulator that then actually works on the interface. So let me go through a few examples on this. Now, this is Debian specific, but I'm sure it's pretty much the same on all the other distros. The user calls ifup eth0 or startif eth0, and this causes an ifup event to be generated and sent via the control socket. This control socket handler dispatches the event to the interface policy, as we've just seen. There, we look into etc network interfaces, which is Debian specific and thus implemented as a plugin, to find out that DHCP is being used. We thus instantiate a DHCP handler object and delegate control to it. This causes DH client to be spawned and standard out registered with the core, along with the callback used to react to those standard out events. DH client then issues the pre-init and bound events, which are fed to manipulators. The manipulators populate the environment with all the data and call shell scripts to do the actual work. These shell scripts are in etc, or possibly in user share and overridable in etc, so that the administrator can actually take control at that very last step. Well, don't really need to talk about this. This is an interesting one that might not be implemented at first, but it's definitely possible. The policy may say, if DHCP is failing, why don't we do zeroconf? Or why don't we power off the interface? Or something like that. So taking the interface down again, the command is ifdown, issues an ifdown event to go via the control socket. That's dispatched to the interface policy, and the interface policy finds that there is already a handler that is taking care of that interface. So it actually calls the handler that has previously been instantiated for the DH client to handle the ifdown event. So that I can actually change my network configuration on the file system, etc network interfaces. I can say ETH0 is now statically configured, not anymore configured via DHCP, and yet ifdown will still kill the DH client. This is not actually my idea. This is Mark Haber, who has implemented this for ifdown already with hooks, but I think it's a very good one. And there we go. The handler is then deleted again because we don't need it anymore. We'll recreate it the next time. There's a question, yes?
Yeah, I've just got a quick question in regards to that last slide you showed.
This one or?
No, the last one.
This one?
That one there. And the same would apply with the other one. You've got actually IF down ETH0. You're saying just use IF down for your software that you're presenting here. What about if you've got like more than one network card installed in the machine, how do you specify between them?
Okay, so the question was, like, it says ifdown eth0 yeah. here, but it only says ifdown event here.
Yeah.
An event actually has parameters that go with it. I didn't list those parameters here. So an event is an object that has data associated with it, and one of those data is going to be the name of the interface.
Yeah. No.
Are there any other questions? All right, I'll just move on then. What's this policy thing? There should be a user-defined per interface policy and a default so that I can decide which user can control interfaces. I can, well, I can basically outsource the control flow of what happens when which whatever events are being received and whatever failures or success modes we enter into from DHCP. Like if try DHCP if I can't find a static configuration for an interface, or proceed with link local or power off if DHCP has failed. Kind of repeating myself here. But the policy should also be able to determine prerequisites for interfaces. For instance, with OpenVPN, which is in user space, you need ETH0 up and configured in order to bring up VPN0 or TUN0, whatever it's called. So there's an interface dependency here. And I want to use the policy in ETC to configure these dependencies. Now, let's give you a quick example here. This is not going to be the final syntax. This is really just something I hacked together in order to wrap my head around it. But let's look at what a pretty standard configuration might be for IFUP. We're allowing group 1 and user 2 to actually manipulate or issue these events. And when an event is issued, we start with ENI, which is ETC network interfaces. And basically, that just says use this file and configure the interface accordingly, as has always been done in Debian. Now, if there's not an interface stanza found in that file, not found, then we move on to DHCP. Debian doesn't actually do that, but I think it could. So with DHCP, we can set some parameters and tell it then on fail and timeout that we should do link local. Now, there's actually no configuration required for link local. So that's a very simple example. Let's look at a little bit more involved one, which involves these dependencies. So here, users are allowed to if up an iface, but on ifing up, this is actually interesting. We have a global dependency on ETH0 for all if up events. So if you if up ETH0, there will be a big black hole and everything will explode or implode. As I said, this is not necessarily well thought through, these policy examples, but I hope you're getting the idea. It does say start at OpenVPN, so this is where we continue with the configuration. This is where we get the configuration from, and if we manage to bind an OpenVPN tunnel, if we manage to create that interface that OpenVPN gives us, then continue with configuration according to ETC network interfaces. And I'm actually introducing a subdirectory here with interface-specific files, which Debian should have done a long time ago as well, but hasn't. That being said, I have actually looked at IFUP down, and I've tried to do some of these things in there, but I didn't necessarily understand the way that one is supposed to communicate with the user reading the code and the computer at the same time, looking at IFUP down code. So as I said earlier, all of the work is actually being done by methods, by shell scripts. If you briefly go to your distro and think about how network configuration is being done in your distro, then you will probably have to agree that if you tell your distro that you want a static IP address, then your network configuration subsystem is going to call ifconfig or IP or whatever tool it uses to assign an IP address to an interface. If you now, instead of a static address, use DHCP, these methods are not going to be called, because DHCP causes DHClient to be spawned, which has DHClient script, which then has its own implementation of how addresses are supposed to be added to interfaces. So this is maybe a little bit of an ideological or academic beef that I have with it, but depending on whether it's a static configuration or a DHCP configuration, you run two entirely different scripts. So if for instance, there's deleting an IP address from an interface previously might have been setting ifconfig eth00. That would basically delete the IP address. Now you might want to use IP. So you say IP address delete address def eth0. But in order to get your system to use that consistently, you have to change it in two places. And that's what I don't like, this two places. It should really be one thing. So this is what netconf does. It has methods And these methods get called for all kinds of manipulation of the interface. No one else in the entire NetConf infrastructure is allowed to interact with the networking subsystem, with the kernel, with the actual interfaces. Only these methods are allowed to do it. They get the information. Well, I don't have to read this out. This is maybe interesting. I think that network configuration should always happen the way that an administrator does it. If we want to bring up an interface and add a route, then we will not actually pretend to be a shell script and execute the same series of commands at all points in time. We will figure out what is needed to get the system to the desired state. And so we only execute those commands. And I actually want NetConf to do the same. I actually want NetConf to execute the minimal amount of commands to reach the desired state. Now, I can't actually argue what the benefit is. Maybe ideological, but I think it's cool. So as I said, it's currently in Python for easy prototyping. I really do want to move this to C or C++, or if Keith Packard were here, I might actually use Nickel, but he isn't, so I won't. I did, throughout coding this, abstain from the use of higher-level Python wherever I wanted to and wherever it was possible to make the porting easier. So the code is actually pretty much C. You know, the structure will stay the same if you port it to C or C++. So where are we at? It's definitely pre-alpha. I'm in the design stage. I don't actually have a lot of time to work on this, unfortunately, which is partly why I'm giving this talk here, because I hope that some of you may be interested in joining and helping out. The core and the control flows are done. At least they are conceptualized. They're mostly implemented. Maybe here and there a little bit of exception handling is missing, but I think it's the core is done. I need to implement the corner case implementation for DHCP, like what happens if you had actually assigned an IPv4 alias and then your lease suddenly changes and your static routes are still the same and so on. There are all these like crazy things that are happening in the man page for DH client script, and I kind of need to add them to the code, which I couldn't be bothered to do so far. And I really need to think about these interface dependencies, so I haven't done that yet. That's sort of a wish that I would like to do. But once we have that, we can do bridging, bonding, VPN. I think that should be possible to add pretty trivially. I really want to have a central location for configuration data, so you may get from your DHCP server the IP address for your SMTP server. Now that should be available to the entire system from a central location. Such central location doesn't actually exist on Debian systems. I don't know about other distros. But NetConf can provide it, whether it's in the same space as it is already on other distros or whether it's a new thing on Debian systems, then it could actually do that. I'd like to add environment detection, actually. Restoring custom routes. This is sort of like save and restore of what the administrator did. And remembering networks and ad hoc configurations. So you should be able to actually snapshot the system and then later reapply it. This is actually very ambitious, right? That last one. So that's it for me. I thank you for your attention. And are there any more questions? Please heckle. Oh, my God. All right, we'll go clockwise. How's that? So take the microphone, please.
Okay. So my understanding is that Fedora 9 is particularly aiming at doing a network manager for the system-wide. I think it's Fedora 9, or certainly it's in the schedule, this one or the next. And so what are the benefits in writing your new one from scratch compared with generalizing network manager from being something that's GUI tied to something that's system-wide? Surely we've already got a code base that, you know, it's already shown to work for the laptop case particularly well and could be generalized out further with all the plugins already written and all of the things like that.
This is a very good question. I think the main difference is that I understand NetConf. And I don't necessarily understand everything that's happening in Network Manager, because Network Manager is a top-down design. It's basically there was a GUI, and then they tried to make things happen from the GUI downwards to the system. Whereas in my case, I think there's an interface. And now I'm trying to figure out what are the different ways that you can manipulate this interface and build it from the bottom up. So I think it's easier to understand, and in the long run, you know, I'm basically putting in another competitor here. In the long run, shall the better one win? That's it.
Are you going to support any IPv6 stuff?
Yes, IPv6 should definitely be supported. It's and as a matter of fact, it's a requirement for the 1.0 release, as far as I've done. Debian supports it, but basically, IP utils, the IP utility, which is what I'm using for most of the manipulation, that doesn't really make a distinction between IPv4 and IPv6. Now, there are RRA, RPD, and whatever they are called for IPv6, a couple of other approaches that we didn't know with IPv4. Those will have to be integrated, but I definitely will make this IPv6 compliant, yes.
You mentioned support for bridging and bonding. Are you also planning to implement support for VLANs natively, and then more complicated configurations like VLANs on top of bonds?
This is the most favorite answer. Patches, welcome. Join me. Yes, the answer is yes.
I'm interested to know about the plans for monitoring events. For example, pick your whatever monitoring system you want to use. Will there be support for this system to feed events to it?
Can we quickly say what the monitoring system is? Are we talking about Nagios, or are we?
For the sake of argument, sure.
So what I didn't mention in the slides, and that's a very good point, is that I do want to, probably as part of integration of Network Manager GUI, provide a dbus adapter. So I want to have a dbus interface for NetConf. Now that means that if Nagios actually does dbus, there you go, you got it. On the other hand, there is this control socket, and the control socket uses a very, very simple protocol that is inspired by HTTP. I didn't do XML-RPC, I didn't do dbus there simply because I want to keep the dependencies to a minimum. So it's a very, very simple HTTP-like protocol, and there could be a plugin for Nagios or whatever system it is that just simply connected to that control socket, potentially even connected to the UDP or TCP port. Now, kind of weird, you control the network configuration management system via the network. It's like restarting SSH, kind of. But it should be possible. There should be multiple ways to do that, yes. As a matter of fact, the dbus adapter will simply use the control socket and be optional.
It seems to be triggered by a single IF up event currently. And then there's basically a try this, try this, try this sort of policy. Given the way that everything these days is roaming, even, you know, wireless, you'll switch between networks, even on a wired network. As you said, the DHCP address may change, or you may have gone to link local and then later on the DHCP server comes along. Why have you chosen a fairly linear configuration policy versus something that's entirely event-based and responds to actions that happen in any order, any time?
So I don't think I have a fairly linear approach to this. It is true that you issue an IF up event, and that causes a strain of events, and that will get you connected. But as part of the connection, you may have spawned WPA supplicant, you may have spawned, I hate this thing. Is this all right? Can you still read this? I may have spawned WPA supplicant, I may have spawned something for DHCP. Now, these things actually become event sources. So they hook into that cycle, into the main loop. And that's not necessarily linear anymore, in my understanding of the word linear. Now, if DHCP gets an event expire, or whatever it is, I can ask the policy, what should I do now? And that may be, you know, sorry, your lease has expired. Let's try static again. Let's unpack the stack again. You know, let's try static and or do whatever it is.
So you have more than IFUP. You have, you know, DHCP arrived, DHCP changed, link local changed, roaming wireless network changed, IPv6 router advertisement changed. You have all those entry points as well?
Well, this is not implemented, no, but it's conceptualized. If WPA And I'm working actually with the WPA people on, and supplicant people on this. If there is a change of the ESSID or a change of the network for roaming, there will be an event. And it's really just a question of what to do with the... I will get the event. I just have to react to it. And in part, I'm being a cop-out because I'm adding this policy thing, so you can take care of it yourself. And in the other part, I think that that's sort of the most flexible solution.
Yeah.
So I hope that...
And because you're also trying to do the minimum change in configuration. So if there's a change in IP address, that's got to be implemented. You're only changing the minimum amount necessary.
Yeah, the comment from Andrew there was, for the sake of the recording, that since I'm having declarative methods, which try to make the minimal changes only to get to the desired state, this should theoretically work. Was that your comment, right?
Yeah,
it
yeah,
should theoretically work. Right. If there's no change needed.
Yeah.
Yes?
I also had one more question I was going to get while I had the microphone. Your configuration, and again, I realize it's a very early stage. You haven't seemed to address layering at all. So the example of a bridged VLAN, you might have the configuration for a VPN over something, over a bridged VLAN something, which then might change. You might want to run the same VPN over a totally different underlying transport, or you might need a bridged VLAN if you had a different Ethernet card. If you address it as the network layers and configure each of the layers separately, a lot of that falls out neatly.
So to answer your question, first
the problem that IFUPDOWN has. IFUPDOWN configuration is very, everything's tied together in the one blocks.
Yeah, and I think that's a problem that Network Manager has as well.
Yeah.
Disclaimer up front, I know what VLANs are. I've never really dealt with VLANs in Linux. I do have these switches, and they do that. So I don't really know how it's being done, but I know about bridging, and I know about OpenVPN. And this is partly why I wanted to stress that bottom-up nature, that the compartmentalizing features into little blocks, so that essentially, no matter whether the interface you're currently dealing with is an Ethernet interface or a bridged interface, or whether it's a TUN OpenVPN interface, it's treated exactly the same, and it becomes available as a result of a prerequisite that has been brought up, for instance. So it's basically a loop that just keeps going and going and going until you get to the desired point, which is an OpenVPN tunnel over a bridged interface over Wi-Fi that has spawned DHCP, which only worked because of WPA supplicant. Now, at every single point in that cycle, you may have failure, you may have success, and according to what that cop-out policy, you react accordingly. That's what I mean with prerequisites. Maybe dependencies would have been a better word.
Two questions. One, would ifconfig now become a interface into the system? And the second question is, all this policy and layering and all that, isn't that sort of what Upstart's trying to do?
I'm not entirely sure I understand your first question.
So if I go ifconfig f0 up, is it going to...
No. As a matter of fact, in my ideal world, ifconfig is going to die.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not. I'm also not going to replace the bin IP utility. Now, this is distro network configuration. It uses ifconfig or bin IP, but it will not... I'm not trying to add like a mandatory layer on top of Linux network configuration. You should, netconf runs there, and it does its thing, and you as the administrator, you can do your own thing. Netconf will not overwrite what you're doing, and it will not get in your way. You know, everything that you've been doing so far should work exactly the same way, including IFUP should work exactly the same way on Debian systems as it used to work, unless you change the policy to read a different configuration file, for instance. So no, I'm definitely not trying to revolutionize entirely how all Linux network configuration is being done. Now, I hope that answers your first question.
Yep.
Your second question is, isn't that pretty much what Upstart is trying to do? In a way, yes, Upstart is very, very closely related. Upstart is trying to do more. It has been suggested many times that I use Upstart for NetConf. The reason why I haven't done that is because Upstart has a fair bit of dependencies. It uses Dbus. It basically wants to use HAL, I think, as far as I know. And it's very unlikely, from what I have understood from discussions, that Upstart will be added to the Debian-based system anytime soon. Now, I realize this is a Debian-specific decision, but unless there are other people that join the project and convince me, this is what I'm going to do. Apart from that, it's really fun, you know. Scott got to implement Upstart, I'll get to do the same with NetConf.
Are you going to do just-in-time network interface bringing up, for instance, modems?
Modems? I've never thought about them just-in-time networking. But so IF-up-down has methods to handle PPP. And those may call upon PPPD to do the dialing, or they may call WVDial or whatever they're called. And yes, as part of the IF-up-down compatibility, I will be able to do exactly the same. As a matter of fact, on Debian systems, modems are nowadays brought up via the ETC network interfaces file. That's the standard way of doing it. Now, whether there should be a direct way of dealing with modems in NetConf or not, that largely depends on demand, on people scratching their own itches. I don't use modems. Not anymore, at least. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I was just saying, it is possible, and you've used it before, the kernel can say, I want to do some networking, and UseSpace will bring up an interface.
This is NetLink, right? The NetLink stuff.
Pre-NetLink.
I'm not sure I follow right now.
It's for when all we had was a modem, and you don't want it up all the time.
Is this like on demand, like as in there's a packet that wants to go out, therefore dial?
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that at all. I'm sure, you know, there's this user space target for IP tables, right? And therefore it can be done. But I'm going to write it down. I mean, on-demand links is definitely another thing. You can do that for ADSL, which sometimes uses modems, or always uses modems. So yes, thank you for the comment.
Your policy file, you have planned support for specifying firewalling policies?
All I want to do is specify a way for you to automatically load whatever you want the firewall to look like on certain states. So I'm not going to do the Windows trick on you. I'll block everything except like the ports that I need to spy on your system. Did I just say that? But is yes an acceptable answer? I just forgot the question now. I'm sorry about that. I tried to cover it. Right. So what I do at the moment to load a firewall is I tell my IF-up-down hook to do iptables-restore. And that loads a file. Now, that should be doable, not via a hook, but maybe via a better means. I like IP tables restore a lot, and maybe that's what I'm going to implement. But I think your original question was that I don't want to dictate what the fire policy should be looking like. I think it should be up to you to decide that. I just want you to be able to do it without having to write your own hooks for it, because it does seem to be a pretty standard task. Did I manage to answer that now? Sorry about that. Any other questions? All right. Well, in that case, I thank you again for your attention, and I hope that there's going to be a lot of new people.